Haiti is another tiny nation that's had more than its share of instability in recent decades. That includes a massive earthquake 5 years ago. So for anyone who lives there, resilience is not an abstract concept.
It's about the building blocks, the molecules of resilience. What do people turn to when they're freaking out? What reasons do they invent to get out of bed every day? And what eventually teaches them to laugh again and teaches them to love again?
That's Haitian author Dimitri Elias Léger. His new novel, God Loves Haiti, unfolds in the aftermath of Haiti's 2010 quake. Léger read a passage for us. It's from the point of view of a child who, like everyone else, was taken by surprise when the earth started to tremble.
I was taking a bath, the boy said. My mom was telling me a story about why I should stop playing with the big boys across the street. Then Gudu Gudu came. It was loud. I couldn't hear her voice anymore. I couldn't hear anything but Gudu Gudu, Gudu Gudu, Gudu Gudu. The room rocked back and forth, back and forth. Mommy wanted to hug me. Then the ceiling came crashing down on her.
So Gudu Gudu, just from the context, I'm thinking that's local slang for an earthquake. But there's
yes.
something onomatopoeic as well.
Yes.
And also, it's not just the earthquake, is it?
Yes, it's primarily the sound of the violent whacking back and forth that the earthquake made. People heard drums. People heard thunderclaps. And Gudu Gudu seems to have been the common sound people heard, and that became the name of the earthquake.
So was there kind of in that an understanding of geology and seismic activity, or is there something spiritual and deeper going on?
No one knew it was an earthquake for days afterwards. There's no tradition of earthquakes in Haiti. So there was no, oh my God, the ground is shaking, this must be an earthquake. There was none of that. There was more like, oh my God, the ground is shaking, full stop. And it took days before somebody learned it was an earthquake and then learned what an earthquake was and how it works. But there was no tradition of earthquakes. We've had invasions, we've had tornadoes, we've had hurricanes, famine, diseases. We've had so many other forces. We later learned the first, the last big earthquake to hit Haiti was in 1899. Since 1899, we've had other things to worry about, and earthquakes are part of the national conversation.
Which is the opposite of Nepal, where they've been waiting for years for this big one, now two big ones to happen. So psychically, what do you think that did to Haitians to kind of not really have an earthquake in the back of their mind, in the front of their mind, and then boom, suddenly it hits?
It was the greatest bit of violence you could imagine, because when you're invaded or conquered, there's a civil war, there's an enemy, there's somebody you could blame. When hurricanes have tremendous warning, so Haiti's used to that. Earthquakes are particularly violent and brief act of God. It was disturbing because Haitians are quite Catholic and they're quite people of faith. And earthquakes are the kind of force that can make you question your faith because it's a violence of nature that's completely sudden and surprising.
It's interesting in the news reports about Nepal. Nepal was a victim of the earthquake. There were people who died. They were victims. People who survived. They were survivors. Sometimes that language seems kind of worn out, not really able to convey what actually happened. Do you sometimes feel like disasters like earthquakes demand a new vocabulary in order to capture what really happened?
I do believe we need poets and music and literature to fill in the gaps between news reports, to cover the full range of color and emotions that people experience traumatic events need to tell their stories. Because those provide the words between words, the music, if you will, to help understand and make peace with and develop compassion for victims of a tragedy.
You spent about 8 months working with a UN disaster relief mission in Haiti after the quake. How did the experience of being there, working on this mission, how did it all change you?
It made me more Haitian. I'd been away for a long time. I live in Geneva. It's the opposite of Haiti in so many ways, more so even more than America. It's so peaceful, so structured, and it's so wealthy. But then I go back home, and I knew that's what home was like. I got back there. I was like, oh, this is home. This is what home feels like. This is what home smells like. This is what it's like to pay the bills here. This is what it's like to commute to work here. I got to feel walking the same shoes my dad walked, my grandfather walked in, my great-grandfather walked in. They went to work, and they tried to do their best for their family and for the country, and I found myself doing that, and that was as rich as you can get. Mm. So the biggest transformation for me was I felt a great deal of grief, but at the end of it came this love.
Dimitri Elias Léger's new novel is called God Loves Haiti. It's set in the aftermath of Haiti's 2010 earthquake. Great to meet you. Thank you very much for coming in, Dimitri.
Thanks for having me.